So and Dreep. Book published 1906 in Sweden, about reincarnation and karma in practice. From the more than 100 years old, From the Other Side, dictated book. So and Dreep. Taken through oath by Oscar Busch. Oscar Busch, 1844-1916, must have had a very good receptivity to these messages from the other side. The book is very vivid and fully in line with the laws of life that the cosmic, spiritual science describes. And I suppose, as like the contents of the other books he wrote, How Destiny is Entangled, that also this book was received as content by automatic writing or medially. Introduction. Part 1 is about the young man Wolfgang, who inherits a trading house of his wealthy father and fight to keep it going. He has had a poor girlfriend, Gerda, he loved since childhood, but when it gets serious, he marries the manipulative and greedy Gertrud, who like himself, also are of a rich family, but there gets no happiness of the marriage. He had been warned against this evil woman of the wise old woman Dorda, but it was too late, he was already caught in Gertrud's net. The business began to go bad, and with more debt on behalf of his wife, he started with gambling. And a short time it went well. But soon there were only gambling debts, but his wife demanded money. And she, the wife, was waiting to inherit her rich father, but she was not the sole heir of his father, who was Mother City, for her younger brother Karl Garan, should also have his share of the inherited wealth, which they thought was great. Therefore, she would get rid of his brother and suggested that he should take a world trip and look around. By one her husband's / Wolfgang's ship, carrying goods from the Far East. Remark. Looks to me that this must have been in the first half of the 1800s, for it is mentioned that they had sailing ships to transport goods from the east to the west. Steamships became more common in the latter half of the 1800s. Rune comment. But his brother, Karl Garan, never returned from this journey, and her father also died shortly afterwards. And it was suspected that he was poisoned, but it was never clarified. So now she had the legacy alone, but there became, however, no particular wealth for her, it turned out some later, so then his wife Gertrud went away without saying why and where. But Wolfgang was relieved, but also suffering of remorse, even if it was not himself having planned all this. A while later his childhood's sweetheart, Gerda, again was at his door, because she had noticed or felt his poor mental condition and would help him. While it was 16 years since he last saw her, she had become ill and exhausted and impoverished. Now as an inner cord of love for him, had led her to his house to warn him against doing suicide, as he had in mind. For a moment he listened to her and stood in the choice of following her advice, but then he ran off and shortly afterwards they found him hanging. Suicide. On the other side. What I experienced immediately after my death I have no idea of retelling, it was a chaotic tumult of thoughts and emotions that defies any description. I was hoping that death would result in complete annihilation, but my hopes mocked, I survived, I felt, though in a terrible dizziness and under the most terrible sufferings. My view was at first dazed, it was all dark around me, and I could no more find my thoughts to discern anything in my environment. I felt the excruciating noose around my neck and went through them again and again, the choking plagues. I wanted to shout for help, but the throat gave no sound. How long this hell lasted I do not know. Maybe it was not so long after the earthly reckoning, but when time is measured only by endless torment, then it becomes an eternity. Finally, there was a merciful being that took care of me. I then heard that it was one of the good spirits who made their business to take care of the unfortunates who rushed into the other world. He took me to an institution where there were many as unhappy as me. I do not know if I should resemble that of a hospital or an insane asylum, it is certain that there were sufferings of all kinds. At first I perceived nothing, besides what was inside my own. I felt I was treated with the utmost tenderness, and that underneath my sufferings gradually abated. I could now look around, but saw everything in a shady half-light. My kind nurse stood to me as a figure. It was as if all the light I could make out was based on him, but his face I could not discern. He was very taciturn, asked me just to be still, and when I still had very difficult to produce a sound, so there was not much talking between us. But I shall never forget the sore hand he was washing and removing the blood on my neck and patted my temples. When the anxiety came over me and shook my whole being, he only needed to lay a hand on my heart, and I became calmer. What he did me good, that man. That there really are people who want to sacrifice themselves for others, it was a mystery to me. It gave me much to think about, whom I had never given any attention. It gave me the first weak impulse to becoming a better person myself. Time passed in a largely lethargy condition, occasionally interrupted by the anguished recollections of my past life, but my mind had not completely yet awakened. It was as though I could not quite make it clear to me how much of my own had been involved in all the terrible memories that loomed over and disappeared, for soon after to re-emerge. But gradually it became clear pictures of my earthly life, and I became calmer, but not therefore less unhappy. I did not want to use any serious thought on the past. When memories trying to force themselves on me, I chased them away. I was hoping to forget, and I hoped never again have to worry about them. Fool I am. How little I knew then what spiritual development requires. None of the tracks we put behind us in this life can again be swept away. Everything must be looked at to be examined, processed and summed together to be experienced, for eventually to be crystallized into wisdom. The spirit takes care of such as their inalienable property. But this whole melting process goes through suffering, more difficult in proportion as we oppose the divine guidance offered us all. This I did not understand then. Then my spirit revolted against the suffering, and I thought I could hide it away, like the hare believes himself to safety when he sticks his head under a bush. I soon became so recovered that I could no longer be allowed to stay at the home during my carer-friendly treatment. In vain I tried to persuade him to remain. There were other unfortunate people who were waiting to be received, and I had to go from there. But where should I go? I did not have any place to go to, and no one who could take care of me. You must go out and search, said my taciturn friend. Who should I apply? I asked. You must find out yourself. I did not understand what he meant, and gazed wondering at him. He stroked me slowly over the crown and added, it is in your own mind you must be searching, and on bended knees, until you get hold of that which is your inner essence, your better self. There you will find what to cherish and cultivate, that you shall bear the light so that it may grow. This will make you happy. But you told me to go out and seek. Yes, it is in the solitary walks, alone with yourself, you will find yourself. Will no one follow me? Will you not, who are so good, join me? I beg you. My friend, I could not. My duty is to stay here, and I could also just slow down your search, if I followed you. But I want to give you some comfort to strengthen you on the road. You should know that you actually will not go alone. There are those who follow you in all your ways, though you can still not see them. But when you're in deep trouble, then he will come forward and show himself, and then you get all the help you need. Now go in peace. God bless you. Give me at least your name to remember and pronounce in my loneliness. Call me Guru. With gentle force he untied himself from my embrace, accompanied me a few steps on the road, stood a long time, and waved farewell. Now I was alone again. Where should I go? I felt that I could not go back to my friend again, but why should I go anywhere? Could I not just be as where I was, to sit here by the roadside and wait until someone came and took care of me? I waited and waited, no one came. But what came, was the memories of the past and with them a concern that soon grew into anxiety. I could not sit still any longer. I got up and started walking without knowing the road, and without any goal for my walk. How can I describe my further experiences? Earth's languages have not expressed any of the things this other world reveals, and common Earthman cannot grasp what lies beyond his conceptual realm, and yet I have to borrow your language and appeal to your concepts to describe my reactions. This is indeed very appropriate, because that part of the spirit world that lies closest to the Earth, let's call it the astral world, is by no means all that different from the physical world as Earth children generally imagine. On the contrary, in the external respect, the two worlds are so similar that one can safely say that everything that exists in the physical world has its counterpart in the astral, except that they are fashioned by such different stuff. You could say that the astral world is the original, and the physical world is only partial and weak copies. So is man's physical body an imperfect, and often distorted imitation of his astral body, which in our world here, is the outer shape, a body fully as real as ever, as the physical body. Yes, the inhabitants of the astral world is not only in the external sense, but also the inner meaning, as people on Earth, that can reasonably be calling them people, solid clad in a body of much lighter material. Similarly, also our world is just as an objective world as yours, and it will offer exactly the same phenomena as of the Earth. Everything is so similar, and yet it is something that I would characterize as the individual's subjective perception of what he perceives, which makes such a significant mark on everything. One can possibly get a clue about it, when one considers, how different, for example, the same landscape, or the same work of art is perceived by and affects a cultivated and an uncultivated man on Earth, though the landscape and the artwork is exactly the same objective reality for both of them. Here, this circumstance is of a much greater importance. This makes the spirit an idea of what he sees in accordance with his development or state of mind at the moment, and these are to him so vividly that it seems perfectly objective. For another, however, in other mood, the same object appears completely different. In some sense, one can therefore say that each create their environment for their mind. The heart leaves the subject and spirit creates. This is what is so difficult to explain to the earthly consciousness. But it was about me, I would speak. I walked and walked, at first, across vast plains, but then through the wilderness. The road gradually became ever narrower, until it dried up into a little path that led over the rocky mountain ridges, then through tangled swamps. Nowhere to see a human habitation, where I could go in and find shelter. Never, I met someone I could ask for directions or ask for an advice where I should turn around. Twilight became closer, and the darkness came creeping in between the rocks and bushes and wrapped an almost impenetrable blanket over the whole neighborhood. I felt creepy and started running in the hope of soon reaching a populated city, but the foot stumbled, I fell and could not for a long time get up, rise again. Eventually, I crawled up and sat on a stone, but now my strength was exhausted, I could not take one step further. There I was now alone and abandoned in the wilderness. It came upon me a terrible depression. Was it my imagination or were there really ghostly shadows that crept around me? I thought I recognized them and was seized with an anxiety that was terrible. What did they want of me, these terrible figures, which came up and stared at me? Some threatened me with his fist, others menaced me, others wringing hands in despair. Where did they come from and what had they to do with me? I tried to chase them away, but they came back. I asked them to leave me, but did not. I would hardly admit to myself, but I recognized them. There were business people that I cheated, lenders that I never paid, players that I ruined, and women that I made unhappy. Alas, the bitter memories emerged and took shape before me. Their dumb accusations hurt as lashes. I could not bear to look at them, I leaned my head in my hands and wept. It eased slightly. Suddenly I heard a voice beside me, who said, "Ask them for forgiveness, should I ask them for forgiveness?" Not was I alone the guilty, what I did was probably no worse than thousands of others have done before me. I again lifted my head and thought, now I see them all in their face, so they run away from me. But now they were all gone. I sat alone again without a clue of where I was or what I should do with myself. I just stared dully in front of me. Then I noticed something bright far away in the underbrush. It was moving among the trees. It came closer and closer. It was obviously a man who might have gone astray like me. "Hello?" I shouted. He did not answer but came briskly towards me. In less time than I expected, he stood in front of me wrapped in a cloak, and a broad hat down on his forehead. He was not a shadow, he was a real man. What was he bright, and it was almost as if it came a shine appearance from him. "Can you tell me where we are and where I should go, to get home?" I asked. "You are in search of yourself," he replied, "and when you found yourself, is on the road to your home by the Valley of Self-Conquer. Do you know me, because you can talk like that?" "Yes, I'm your friend who came here to help you. Would you take my hand and I will lead you? I know the way." "Who are you?" Now the stranger opened up his coat and lifted his hat. "Jesus, Maria." It was Kulgaran. I fell completely as annihilated with the face to the ground. He stroked me slowly over the hair. I took away his hand. "What do you want from me?" I shouted. It was not me. It was she, your sister. "Get away from me. Have I not suffered enough? Will you also come here to torment me?" "Well, I go then, when you do not want to accept my help. But cry to me when you are in distress, and I will try to come," he said in tones of voice, of most tender sadness. When I looked up again he was gone. How long I lay there in my helpless loneliness I do not know. The time is long for those who suffer, and I suffered terribly. The only one who would help me, I had sent away from me, but how would I dare to put my hand in his? I was his murderer, though not directly taken his life. Yes, for myself, I could probably confess it. But would I also do the same in front of him? He knew nothing. And would he ever, after seeing it, be able to forgive me? He said I was out in search of myself. It was also what the guru said I should. What did they mean? Once I heard that the voice inside me, "Go into your inner, to your most secret nooks, not only for yourself, but for all those whom you have done wrong." Where did that voice come from? There was no one near me. I sat down to think over the words and got a feeling as if I was faced with the inevitable difficult operation. Was it really inevitable? And who would take the knife? Would I do it? I shook with fear, but tried to dismiss it by thinking about something else. Then it crept back beside me. The mysterious shadows came first, one by one, and smiled at me, and then they started a witch's dance around me so horrible that I thought I'd be losing my mind. "Enough, enough," I cried, "forgive me. I have done wrong to you all. I am a miserable wretch, who has done much harm. I have been too weak, I could not resist, I have followed all the evil temptations, and therefore I have made so many unhappy, but I myself am the most unhappy. Sorry. Sorry. And you, Kulgaran. Kulgaran," I screamed as it echoed in the hills, "forgive me, even you. It was me who did it, though she gave me the idea, a devilish thought. Forgive me and forgive even her. Against you, we have sinned worse than to any other. And it was not only against you, that was the whole crew." It was clear that the old ship, Votan, was no longer able to ride out a storm. "Oh, all of you who went to the ocean bottom with the old hull, how can I make it good again, what I have sinned against you? And you, who loved me, my own Gerda, to you have I done so bad, so bad. Of greed I disowned you and made you unhappy for all your life. I wretch, how can I atone for everything, everything?" I had long lain prostrate and cried in my most dire straits when I felt a hand on my shoulder. I stood up slowly. It is wonderful, there was a radiant light figure by my side. Not that I heard when he arrived and had not seen him before. He smiled so kindly to me. "Who are you?" I asked, surprised. "I am your friend who has followed you all the time here in the wilderness," he said, "and long before that too, but you have not been able to see me. Only a couple of times have you heard my voice. Get up now, so shall we together walk over to the nicer areas. How can you be so kind to me, that am such a damned creature? No one is so reprobate that he cannot be established or restored. You have now found yourself and going through the self-defeat ordeal. You should receive the forgiveness you have requested, by one after another of all those you sinned against, and you must also, in due course to make everything right again towards them, when you get power to it. You asked how I could be so good to you. Alas, dear friend, my goodness is only a weak reflection of the love that is everlasting mercy. Would you like me to bow both knees here in this wilderness, and thank God for his spark in the depths of your soul, was so strong that it did not give you some peace, until you fought your battle with yourself and won at peace? We had just raised again and started our walk, when Kulgran with urgent steps came towards us. He embraced me and was so indescribably happy. He told me that he always kept so much of me, but to his sorrow seen how his sister pulled me down. You probably thought, he said, that I was just a child and a strange child, but I lived an inner life for myself and saw and understood more than anyone guessed. He had so much to talk about while we walked the way forward, who led through all the more beautiful places, ever upward toward brighter hills. Kulgran not only led me, he almost carried me, and he was so strong, while the other hand I was still pretty weak. It was a great trip, full of new impressions that I cannot describe. We met at times, crowds of walkers, sometimes we went together with those on the way, same direction as us, but we embarked us not into conversation with them, we had so much to say to each other. When we reached a height from where it had a sweeping view of the whole neighborhood, our guide stopped, took me on my shoulder and pointed down toward a charming beautiful valley, overgrown with trees. There, he said, is the hut that will become your home for the near future. It belongs to another of your friends. Kulgran will bring you there and even stay with you. I leave you now, other duties call me, but I will soon return and visit you. Then he shook hands in farewell, and he said, if you want anything in particular, call on Akab, and I will not be slow to come. God bless you. He waved a friendly hand and disappeared in another direction, so suddenly, as though he had wings. When we finally reached the goal of our hike, my new home, I encountered an exceedingly dear surprise. On the threshold stood Gerda with open arms and invited me welcome. Not the degraded, prematurely aged Gerda, as I moved away in despair when I last saw her. No, radiantly beautiful, she stood there with mild blue eyes and curly blonde hair I so well remembered from our youth. Well, finally, she said. Here I've been waiting you for so long, long time, while Kulgran has been on the lookout for you. She told them that she had to leave the earthly life not long after I so cowardly ran away from there. She had met Kulgran and they had decided to help me and offer me a home with them, until I became strong and coherent enough to find and help myself. They both were among the others of a somewhat higher sphere, but as I naturally could not get right of domicile there, they moved rather down to my realm. It soon became apparent how blessed it was for me to have these friends by my side. I had more often severe attacks of despair over my suicide. It started with a very strange sense of connection with my dead body. I kind of sucked back into the mortal clay I left behind me, hanging from a rafter in the attic, and I could for a moment feel so attached to it, so I again went through pains of the death labor. Everything went black before my eyes and I burst into convulsive sobs. During these attacks, Gerda would give me magnetic deletions, it was the only thing that calmed me. Then she sat and held my hand until the crisis was over. At first these attacks were severe and prolonged, and could come back quite often. No one knows what I suffered, well, only she, who shared my pain, but certainly did not have any way she could help me. It felt that she was carrying half my anxiety, and it had no one else could. How lovingly she cared for me during this my long convalescence, I cannot describe, but with all my soul, I thank her for what she did for me. Even Kulgaran was indefatigable in his tender care of me. Gradually, I was attacked less frequently and they were also easier to handle. On one occasion, when a cab came and visited us, I asked him of which this was, and whether he thought that I would always come to suffer under these sensations. "No," he replied, "at the time you would have died a natural death. If there be not gone natural order in advance, they will reach the very end, but until then, you are still by a very thin feeling wire, connected, well not to the physical body, which has already undergone its transformation, into decay, but to its etheric counterpart, which as long as living a kind of unsouled vegetative life. This band, which nature herself has spun, can none completely tear apart, but it weakens by itself, as its once allotted lifespan is exhausted, but so long as there is a feeling in this thread, one is drawn, as one feels, to this discarded body, and feels more or less a kind of pain by this touch, connection. Have any taken one's own life, this connection can cause great suffering, in proportion as it conjures up horrible memories, but if there are other reasons of a sudden death, sufferings is not significantly thereof. There was also another circumstance that during this time caused me pain, and I do not know how I would have endured it, if I had been left to myself. A cub had told me to record my own life history, step by step, from beginning to end. This, he said, is the best way to self-learn from what one experienced. Experience is often costly, so carefully it must be safeguarded. You do not do well on a misstep by carefully remember the impact it has caused. Write therefore the things, the dark as well as the bright, as it becomes a precious protocol that you or others in the future may have well of. Should others also read it? I dared to object. He smiled as kindly as he replied, "There are no secrets, and also it encourages us to live so that we have nothing to hide." It was no easy task I had received. But the last thing I could blame was not to remember the past. On the contrary, all of my earthly life was for me like pictures so accurately reproduced that I am at their viewing once again lived through each day, each moment with a reality that was really embarrassing. Think of sitting there and watch yourself, to scrutinize all evil thoughts, all the harsh words, and all the ugly actions and write them down line by line, that are something terrible. If there came a sun glimpse sometimes, of some little good that I had done, it made so a liberating feeling, but unfortunately such bright spots were very rare. It was essentially a dark portrayal I had to give. Sometimes I tried enough to lightly slipping over a particular black spot in my life, but then I was caught of such anxiety that I could not go on, until I decrossed out what I wrote and got to the bottom within myself. And it was not enough to just objectively describe what had happened and what I did. I also had to write down what I considered my guilt in each case. How eagerly I sought after what would excuse me in this, but truth had to be found and come forth. I had no peace until I gave myself all the debt I really carried on. This was purgatory, nothing more and nothing less. But while I was in agony under the weight of all my memories, my two friends spread light and warmth around me. They were tireless in encouraging and comforting me. I was, thanks to their care, on the whole, quite happy, as soon as I for a moment let go of my job on this and devoted myself to their company. But these happy times were short. It burned like a fever in me, which I had to go back to my work again. So went a time, how long I do not know. To me it was like a completely terrestrial life. A cab was occasionally visiting and inspected my work. One time, he rubs me over the head and said, "It's good, I thank you, on your own behalf." He sometimes had such strange opinions, which I did not really understand. At last my work was finished. The last part would have cost me hideous effort to write down, but when it was finished, it was also as if a burden has been lifted from my shoulders. A cab came, examined my opus, work, carefully and expressed his appreciation. Better reward, I could not wish for. It was a joyful day in our little circle. We sat all four on a terrace outside our tent and enjoyed the evening's cool and the sunset splendor. You have now completed a difficult job, said Akab, but you will also have the joy to see how blessed it will be for your own development.